Trinity Church. All right, my name's Shay and I'm an overcomer. Okay, it looks like they're passing out the Bibles, the bulletins, all that kind of stuff. Listen, if you don't have one of these, raise your hand. There's notes all throughout this. So raise your hand and write something down. I'm going to tell you all throughout this message, it's time to write something down. And while you're getting those, we have been this entire month talking about praise and worship. And I told you at the beginning of the year that each month we're going to find a new topic to talk about. He's really wanting a pen and a bulletin. Over here too. There's a lot of folks that didn't get them back there in the back. We are changing up topics every month. But I really wanted to keep prayer in focus. I don't want to lose that momentum we have going as a church that prays too much. I love that. So next week, we're going to start a new sermon topic. And our sister Jesslyn will be bringing the first message. She'll be up next week. And that message is, who are you? Who are we according to the Bible? I think a lot of times we have been told who we are, or we may not think enough of ourselves to believe who we really are according to the Bible. So next month, all these messages will be centered around that. And like I said, Jesselyn will be bringing the first message next week. So you don't want to miss that. Does everybody got everything they need? Nope. She needs a Bible right here. Yep. Needs a Bible there. Yeah, because this particular message tonight, I have a lot of scripture I'm reading. There's a lot of fill in the blanks and everything. So I really wanted y'all to have this. Okay, so let's get into it. For a whole year, we talked about what would Jesus do? WWJD. And so that was kind of on my mind. I still have one of the bracelets. And so as I sat down to write this, and we're talking about praise and worship, so I was like, how would Jesus worship? How would Jesus worship? And he gave us examples all throughout the scripture, but I don't think that we realize that this is actually Jesus worshiping. Because we don't, in our minds, we don't think like, why would Jesus have to worship? He is God. But he also worshiped the Father. And he gave us example after example throughout Scripture. We're going to go right into Scripture. In Luke 10, Jesus has sent 72 of his followers out. He sent them out to carry the message. And they have come back. And so this is him talking to them as they have returned. Luke 10, 18 through 21. It says, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Listen, I have given you power to walk on snakes and scorpions, power that is greater than the enemy has. So nothing will hurt you, but you should not be happy because the spirits obey you, but because your name is written in heaven. Then Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from people who are wise and smart, but you have shown them to those who are like little children. Amen. Do you catch what Jesus just did there? I want you to write this down. He gives us an example right off the bat. Jesus praised the Lord in public prayer. Public prayer. He's had 72. It's more than probably what's in this room. I hadn't had a count tonight, but it looks great. I love it. I love birthday night when there's lots of folks here. It's awesome. But there's 72 of his people have returned. And in this moment, he does a public prayer. Public prayer is difficult, is it not? Public speaking is difficult, I promise you. It is. I was behind this curtain earlier, had 2 minutes up on the clock, and I was about to throw up. And I've been doing this a little while. It just don't go away. But public prayer is a whole nother level too, right? You're speaking to God. So I've, throughout the years, when I was youth, when I led the youth, I wanted to try to teach them to pray out loud in public and stuff. And so we would just use the simple prayer of praise, God rocks. But throughout the years, I try to negotiate people into public prayer. And it's difficult sometimes because they say, well, I don't know what to say. Say the same thing that you would say if you were by yourself. And then when you run out of stuff to say and you're pausing, you're sitting there thinking, well, I need to keep going. No, you don't. If nothing else comes to mind, you're done. And it doesn't matter if it's, thank you, Jesus, for this day. And if you can't think of the next thing to say, then you're done. Jesus showed us that praising in public prayer is right, and it's a thing to do. He praised the Father for the power that he was given his followers. All right, next example. How would Jesus worship? Jesus worshiped in baptism. Write that down. He worshiped in baptism. Matthew 3. John the baptizer was the one who baptized Jesus. And to get a little bit of an idea who this guy was, the scripture says that he was living in the wilderness and he ate locusts and he wore animal skin. It sounds kind of like a wild man. Amen. But he was all about God. And so what he was doing, and he was running around baptizing people. So he got the name John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He was also Jesus' cousin. But in Matthew 3:13-17, Jesus worshiped in baptism. Listen to this. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River and wanted John to baptize him. But John tried to stop him, saying, why do you come to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized by you. Jesus answered, let it be this way for now. We should do all things that are God's will. So John agreed to baptize Jesus. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. The heavens opened. And he saw God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming down on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is pleased with. The NIV said, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. So I read all that, and I'm kind of with John here on this. I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. I'm with him on that, man. So why? I read this, and I even discussed it with folks at the house and stuff. I'm like, why would Jesus even want to be baptized? And if you were John, so nowadays, and I've baptized some people. And I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The death, resurrection, the burial, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's symbolic, right? So did John the Baptist grab a hold of Jesus and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, yourself, and the Holy Spirit?
I don't think that's what he did. I don't think that's how that went. So I was like, I need to figure this out. So I went back and I read some more scripture going back further from this. John the Baptist baptized people for repentance. For repentance. Back in that day, you had to kill something. Some blood had to spoil. But John was saying, there's one that's coming that's greater than me. And we're going to start baptizing you for repentance of sin. Well, Jesus had no sin. So why was he being baptized? He was setting the example, correct? Right? He's setting the example. This is how you praise and worship the Father. But the Holy Spirit descended on him that day. And so later on in Scripture, when he tells the apostles, hey, I'm going. They're coming to get me, and I'm going to leave here. And I'm going to another place. I'm going to where my Father is. But I'm leaving you a helper. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. That day that he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended. And when he left that Holy Spirit here for us. Now I understand why he needed to be baptized. That Holy Spirit needed to descend down here. And he set the example for every one of us. So, we have a watering trough out here. It's a big watering trough. For years, we set up a big, giant 400-gallon thing, and me and Travis worked our hinds in off the night before setting it up and then tearing it down. And we got a water trough out here. We can fill it up really quick. We can heat it up pretty fast, too. If you want to be baptized, please talk to John or talk to me after the service. We can line that up. We can get it done next week. I ain't above dragging the thing out and pulling it in here tonight. Jesus set the example. Baptism. It's an important thing. And we can do that for you right quick. It's just the next step. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the next step is baptism. Bury that old you. Come back new. Leave him dead in the water. I watched a guy last night who was talking about baptism and how once you've raised up out of that water, you still got to walk this world. You still got to walk in this life. And there's going to be things come at you. And there's going to be people say, hey, come, you don't do some of this. He goes, that person's dead. This person don't do that. That person's dead. Then he went as far as to talk about fruitcake, carrot cake that he liked. And that's one of his downfalls and stuff. And he said, if I'm dead in a casket and someone puts a carrot cake on my chest, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to eat it because I'm dead. Dead person don't do those things. I thought that was really good. If you really want to come and experience the freedom, the new, putting you on the new, burying the old, we can do that for you here. Just get with me and John and we'll get it lined up. I'd like to see a whole bunch of people if they hadn't done that yet. Jesus led communion. Write that down. It's another example. Jesus led and served communion. Mark 14:22. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he thanked God for it and he broke it. Then he gave it to his followers and said, take it. This is my body. Then Jesus took a cup and thanked God for it and gave it to the followers, and they all drank from the cup. Then Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is a new agreement that God makes with his people. This blood is poured out for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Participating in communion. Another example of how Jesus worshiped. Usually on Saturday, there's a big bald-headed guy sitting right here. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Logan. And he leads the communion introduction each week. Each week, you hear him ask, would my servers come up? Now, if you don't know how he gets those, he randomly walks through the congregation and asks you. But I notice that we have the same people serving a lot of times. Next week, if you haven't served communion, take that opportunity to participate and worship that way. He'll be here. You can't miss him. He's a big giant dude with a bald head. Ask him if you can serve communion. Participate in that way. Each week, I stand up here and I watch people who do not participate in communion. They don't come up and receive. First Corinthians 11:24, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What is the reason that you don't? I'm just asking a question for you to think about. If you don't come up and receive communion, why is that? Is it something kind of like what John said earlier? You don't feel worthy. You don't like the taste of juice dipped in bread. Well, just take one of the crackers then. But I think the most common thing is we just don't understand it. I know for a lot of people, they may not come and receive because they just don't understand. And that all it is a symbol of Jesus' body and his blood that was shed on that cross. And if you believe in that and you believe in him, do this in remembrance of him. Amen. That's all he asked. Scripture always says, do it as often as you meet. So it don't matter if you do it at home. If you're meeting with other Christians, it don't have to be just at church. You can do it anywhere. One time we were on a mission trip, and I had probably 30 kids down in a cave in New Mexico. We were cave, searching out and looking around in there and stuff. And the guide said, "Turn your lights off." And so everybody cut their lights off. You could not see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. But one of the kids started singing. We started singing and started praising right there in the dark. Man, it was crazy. And then one of them suggested, "Hey, let's when we get out of here, let's take communion in front of this cave so that we will always remember this moment." Well, I got out and I'm like, "Well, I don't have any bread and I don't have any juice." So I went to digging through the ice chest in the back of the van and I found some chips and some hot sauce. I say, "We're about to take communion." All it is a remembrance. It's a physical act to remember Jesus Christ and what he did for us. That's all it is. And so, if you sat in your seat a while ago during communion, and you want to take communion, as soon as this is over and people start filing out and everything, this will still be set up over here. Come grab me. Come grab John. We'll serve you communion. We don't have to make a big deal out of it or anything like that. Just come grab. Pull us over here and we'll do it. Next thing, write this down. How would Jesus worship? He sang. If you'll continue to read, you notice I read that about, I will not drink this fruit of the vine again until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven. The very next verse, it says, after communion, it says, Mark 14, 26, it says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So what this tells me is Jesus is giving the example of praise and worship. He sang. He sang. We just did it. We just did it a while ago. And again, I've looked around the room. I've been to other big churches where people are, they're standing and they're maybe raising their hand, but their mouth is shut. I'm not singing because I don't sing that well. So what? The music's so loud, nobody can hear you anyway. Amen. Sing those words out, man. I catch myself sometimes not singing because I'm so concentrating, trying to concentrate on playing the music and stuff like that. But I'll look up and I'll see the words and I'll go, oh, God, I got to say that. Say it out loud. Some power in saying that stuff out loud. Don't be afraid. Nobody can hear you and nobody cares how good you can sing anyway. Sing it out. Jesus set the example. He sang. Write this down. How would Jesus worship? He went to Bible study group. He did. Luke 2:41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. When he was 12 years old, they went to the feast as they always did. And then they lost him. They lost him. You know, when I heard this story and read this story, I'm like, okay, you're traveling and you're going someplace and you have a 12-year-old kid. He's your only kid. You don't have 10 of them. You don't have 5 of them or 3 of them. You don't even have 2 of them. You got one kid you're bringing along. That's all the scripture says. They got one kid, 12 years old, and they can't keep up with him. Sounds a little careless. I didn't understand. Why are they being so careless? Well, after further investigation, they were traveling with lots of people, like a lot of people. The city's population is normally 25,000, but during this time at Passover, the population of the city is well over 100,000 people. And so they were traveling with lots of family, friends. It was a whole lot of people. And so they could have figured that, well, maybe Jesus is over here with the heels. They'll feed him. He'll be all right, you know, and everything. I mean, I would, you know. But it turns out that they couldn't find him. After 3 days, they went back. They had to go back, and they was looking for him. And in Luke 2:46, it says, after 3 days, they found Jesus sitting in the temple with the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Sounds like Bible study. Do you have a Bible study group? Do you have a group that you go to on a consistent basis that teaches you principles for living right out of the Bible? We have one here on Wednesdays and Saturday nights, Overcomers Group. If you're not attending one of these groups or an AA group or anything like that, those principles came right out of the Bible. But there's something else special about sitting down and opening up this book. This book. Sit down with somebody. A Bible study group doesn't have to be 10 people. It can be one. Let me tell you what, me and this guy, we talk weekly. And it goes straight to how you kids doing? Good. Okay, you know what Jesus said here? I mean, it's about that quick. It's about that quick. And sometimes we're both busy, but we'll take that 10 minutes. And sometimes it turns into 30 minutes. And sometimes it turns into 45 because we just can't get off the phone because we're discovering new stuff that Scripture says. We're discovering new things. Get into a Bible study. Find somebody that you talk to on a regular basis about the Bible. Jesus did. After 3 days, they found him sitting in the temple with the teachers, listening and asking questions. We bounce questions off each other. Write this down. How would Jesus worship? Jesus carried the message. Well, you might think, well, that's obvious. Carried the message. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I was talking to Will, God's Will. And I told him, you know, one of the examples how Jesus worshiped was he carried the message. Man, when you're telling somebody about the good news, you're carrying the message. And Will says, you know, it says, having had a spiritual awakening, Will said, he is the spiritual awakening. I was like, that is so correct. He's the spiritual awakening. Are you carrying the message? Are you telling people about Jesus? I know in our recovery group, step 12 is carrying the message and you're trying to guide people into recovery. Yes, absolutely. You need to do that. But we've been praying for over a year now. Help us, Lord. Help us to be bold about the name of Jesus. Help us be bold about that name. You know, last week I mentioned a situation we might find ourselves in at work or in our meeting around some friends that are not religious. They may put us in a situation where we have to compromise our Christian values. Do you stand up? Are you bold? Are you carrying the message in that situation? It's not easy. It's not easy. Jesus was bold in his worship. Jesus was humbled in his worship. He washed feet. He washed people's feet in his worship. Jesus fed people in his praise and worship. Jesus healed people in his praise and worship. Jesus forgave people in his praise and worship. Even though he was the Son of God, he worshiped the Father. Write this down. What is the most used form of praise and worship? I asked several people that question throughout the last week, and it was funny the answers I got. But what do you think is the most commonly used form of praise and worship? Huh? Singing. I got that answer before. Somebody said prayer. There it is. I guarantee you there's more people praying than there is singing. I saw it in here a while ago. All right. How many of you have prayed today? At least once. Come on. Right? I pray all throughout the day. All throughout the day. I'm talking to Jesus, man. I'm talking to, and it's every day I'm talking to Jesus. That's the most common form of praise and worship. Are you praying? Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed, even though he was the Son of God. In the garden, he praised three times the same prayer. Matthew 20, 39, it says, after Walking a little further away from them, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, do not give me the cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want." He heard God talking to him. He didn't like what he heard. So he went back. He went back again. He went and checked on his disciples, the people that were supposed to be keeping watch, who were sleeping. And he said, "Stay here and pray. I'm going to go over there. Stay here and pray for me right now, because I got some serious stuff that's coming up. And I need to go over here and pray. While I'm doing that, you stay here and pray and keep watch. I don't need to be interrupted right now. This is serious stuff I need to talk to God about." He comes back and he finds them sleeping. I would be that guy. I prayed till my eyes got heavy. Then he comes back. Jesus went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this painful thing to be taken from me, and I must do it, I pray that what you want will be done." So that tells me that he heard him. He heard God say, "No, I want you to, this is what I want you to do." But he didn't want to do it. Matter of fact, when he goes back to the followers, the disciples, when he goes back to them, he says, "Stay here and pray against temptation." Now, he wasn't talking about their temptation. He was talking about his. My temptation to not do what the Father is asking me to do. My temptation to call 10,000 angels and say, "Nah, not today. I don't think I'm going to do that." Pray against temptation. He went back a third time. So Jesus left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. He said the same thing, "Not my will, but yours be done." Then Jesus went back to his followers and said, "You are still sleeping and resting." He's come and talked to them three different times about trying to keep your eyes open and praying for me. So that tells me that even the greatest of men that were closest to him have trouble praying. "The time has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the sinful people. Get up, we must go. Look, here comes the man who has turned against me." I want you to write this down. This tells me that Jesus was obedient in his worship. Obedient. So how can I relate to that? Many of y'all know for years that me and Trina would take people, you know, in off the street and give them a place to stay and get them on their feet and support them fully, you know. And a lot of times we just did it, and a lot of times we prayed about it. And there was a lot of times that Trina would say, "Yeah, God's telling us to do that." And I'm going, "I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not hearing it. I'm not sure this guy's ready." He didn't ask me if he was ready. He just said, "Do it." "Well, God, I'm going to bring this guy in here, and he's not going to do anything that he's supposed to do." He said, "I didn't ask you if he was going to do anything you said he was going to do. I just told you to bring him in." "But God, I don't want to have somebody sleeping on my new couch again." "I didn't ask you if you wanted somebody to sleep on your couch. I just told you to bring him in." Obedient in his worship. God, thank God that he was. What if he
just said, like I said a while ago, nah, I'm not going to do that today. Y'all, I asked you to pray against temptation, but you fell asleep. I'm calling some angels and we're out of here, buddy. Man, our goose would have been cooked. Thank God he was obedient in his worship. Because he was, we get to live forever. That's it. Because of his obedience. There's an important part about our worship, the obedience part. Amen. I still struggle with it. I promise you. I'll mess up 10 times before I get to that exit. It's tough. That's why I have to stay in prayer all the time. Prayer. As I said earlier, I continue to want to keep this church focused on prayer and the importance of it. And how important is it for us to pray together as a church? And so last year, we've started doing this ever so often. And I think the last time that we did, Will was bringing the message, and he asked us to all pray together. So tonight, we're going to do that again. It's been several weeks, maybe a month. But I want to consistently do that, pray together as a church. And so Jonah and Allie are going to sing a song, and I'm asking you to pray with somebody that you wouldn't normally pray with. We got our cliques, and we got our people that we're real comfortable with standing in a circle with and praying and stuff. And pray with somebody you wouldn't normally pray with. Seek those out. You can get a circle around here, circle here. There's room up here. They're going to sing us a song, but during that time, let's pray. Let's pray together. And here's you an opportunity to pray in public. And if it's only two words, you can get out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. God rocks. So for the next few minutes, spend that time in prayer as a church together. But first, join me in the Help Us Lord prayer. Jesus is Lord.
Help us, Lord.
To be the church for the broken and the powerless.
Help us, Lord.
To be bold about the name of Jesus. To be grateful for the blessings and the struggles. Thy will be done. Amen.